You're listening to the TJ Slideways Open Wheel Spectacular on racesontheweb.com.
Happy holidays, world. Welcome to the TJ Slideways Open Wheel Spectacular here on racesontheweb.com. I'm your host, TJ Buckenbarger, ready to take you through another hour of wintertime open wheel racing information. All of our guests tonight will appear via the Rocket Headers hotline, and you can interact with the show. You can email us questions to tj@tjslideways.com. You can ask them on our Facebook page, search for tjslideways.com, and also via our Twitter account, at tjslideways. And if you can't catch us live every week, don't forget to tell your friends. You can listen to the show afterwards on demand, or also on download and subscribe via iTunes. We podcast the show after the live airing every week, and you can listen to it whenever you want. I know that's the way I listen to a majority of things, and it seems like nowadays, even on television, that's what I do. Unless it's a football game or a race or something, I usually DVR it and catch it whenever I can in my busy schedule. Tonight's guest lineup is very geared towards the next few weeks of racing action. A lot of indoor midget racing coming up with DeCoin, Fort Wayne, and the Chili Bowl right around the corner. So tonight we're going to have David Goff on to discuss this kind of unusual 2010 season. We're going to do a lot of different things, pavement, dirt, sprint cars, a little bit of everything. And he'll have his take on DeCoin and Fort Wayne and the differences between maybe DeCoin and Tulsa. And then we're going to have on Taylor Ferns for the first time. Taylor is from down the road in the Detroit area and picked up 5 feature victories this past season in the Spartan Sprint Car Series and has won in a multitude of focus cars, quarter midgets, mini sprints, a whole bunch of different things. And she's not even driver's license eligible yet. She's 15 years old. So we're going to see what her take is on the upcoming indoor races. She's going to be competing at DeCoin and Fort Wayne and also talk about her previous season, the Spartan Sprint Cars, and some of her plans for the 2011 season. So David Goff and Taylor Ferns, your guests tonight. Once again, if you want to interact, let's list the email address, tj@tjslideways.com, Facebook, tjslideways.com, and the Twitter account, at TJ Slideways. And that leads us into a short edition of
the latest dirt,
all the latest happenings in the open wheeled world. The World Series Sprint Cars were rain delayed last week at Bendigo Bank Arena. They ran the feature on Sunday. Jason Sides picked up the feature win. So Sides doing really well down under this year. He is on a real roll, and this is the time of year you want to be going good down there. A lot of the big races in Australia coming up starting on Boxing Day is when really things start getting hot and heavy. A lot more Americans heading down under. We're going to see a lot more news from down there. Also, this number has changed since 5 o'clock today, but as of when we wrote our show script, 183 cars were entered for the Chili Bowl Nationals in Tulsa, Oklahoma. They did an update to the entry list about 540. We're still prepping for the show, so we don't have the count yet, but we're going to do a Chili Bowl recount possibly after the show tonight while we're putting together the podcast. But yesterday's entries that were filed, some of the notables, Tim McCready added to the entry list along with Wayne Johnson and USAC standout Levi Jones, who's been on the show. Actually, Wayne and Levi both have been on the show before. All those guys are entered for the Chili Bowl. So 183 entries as of yesterday, more added today. And, of course, this Saturday, the big tune-up for the Chili Bowl, the Battle of the Center, or at the Center in DeCoin, Illinois, the Southern Illinois Center, and 62 cars currently pre-entry entered for that event. There is a cap on that. They've got limited space there, so it's not going to end up like a Chili Bowl type affair where you'll have hundreds and hundreds of cars, but 62 cars pre-entered, one-day event on Saturday. There is pay-per-view available for that, video pay-per-view. If you're interested in that, go to PowerEye.com. That's P-O-W-R-I.com. And there's information there on how you purchase the pay-per-view, the link to it, and all the information you're going to need system-wise to be able to watch it on Saturday night. So if you can't make it down to DeCoin, Illinois for the PowerEye Battle at the Center, there is pay-per-view available. Also, entry lists out now for the Rumble Series. Of course, you'll hear their advertising on here, RumbleSeries.com. Tony Barhorst down last week with us on the show. New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, last first race of the year in the U.S. Pretty neat deal for midget racers down there. But Bobby Santos added to the entry list. So NASCAR Modified Champion Bobby Santos is going to come to Fort Wayne. And that's a pretty big name. That'll be pretty interesting. He's going to be teammates with on the Randy Burrow team with Billy Weiss and Aaron Pierce. So that's going to be an interesting combination. Of course, Weiss has been a terror in the indoor circuit lately with the Rumble Series. He's picked up a couple of wins there. And he'll have some competition, though, there with Mr. Santos. I imagine he'll be pretty stout indoors. Bobby's very adaptable to a bunch of different race cars. Great addition to the Rumble Series, though. And it'll be interesting. They're going to have the slingshot race with the Rumble Series, an all-star affair by invitation. It'll be interesting to see who they get for this. And Kevin Olsen signed up so far. Hank Lauer, the legendary sprint car driver from Angola, is signed up for that. But it'll be interesting to see who else gets in there. Maybe a couple of the current midget competitors, a couple of veterans. There's a large pool of veteran drivers to draw from the Fort Wayne area alone, let alone if you spread that net out a little bit in the Indianapolis area and even beyond. With this type of year, the indoor racing, not much going on. So it'll be interesting to see who gets put in those slingshots. We're going to have to keep an eye on that as the event draws closer. And one of the big things on the website always is when the schedules come out. In the World of Outlaws, the United States Auto Club, the Golden State, King of West Series, all announcing schedules. The Oil Capital Racing Series in Oklahoma also published a schedule. All of those are now posted on tjsideways.com. If you go to our 2011 schedule section, you can check out all of those. And we're going to break down the schedules a little bit later. We're going to be a little more guest-focused tonight, but we want to see a few more dates. There are a few more dates to be added to these schedules, especially the USAC schedule. There's going to be a couple of more additions to that. We're waiting for a couple more schedules to come in, and then we're gonna bring in my new co-host at the beginning of the year, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later in the show. We're going to do a little more detailed breaking down of the schedules when we get the people involved with the series, but right now we're kind of indoor-centric, as you might say, with the midget races coming up. And some other big news coming out, it's been leaked a little bit through the newspapers and stuff, that the United States Auto Club is looking at being the promoter at the Dodge City Raceway Park in Dodge City, Kansas. And one thing about the Kevin Miller regime in USAC, they're definitely not status quo. They're not afraid to dip their hands into different things. They've got the off-road series, went back to sanctioning Pikes Peak Hill Climb. A lot of different things they're involved in now. This would be a really interesting venture. Last year, the United States Auto Club did promote a lot of races. They did a lot of their asphalt shows on their own, rented racetracks and such. Some worked, some didn't. It'd be interesting to see how they do with an actual facility and a contract, to see over a period of time how they do. And this is quite a ways from the USAC headquarters. It's right between, you know, halfway between California and Indianapolis. And it'll be interesting to see if they get this contract. Nothing's finalized yet, but the recommendation has been made that USAC is the recommended promoter by the city. The racetrack there has some tax ties and city ties to how it was built and such. So the contract's kind of like a fairgrounds type situation where it's the contract's up for negotiation, grab the previous promoter opting not to come back to focus on his monster truck promoting business. And this promotion contract's open now. There's two USAC weekends already scheduled at Dodge City. And what would they do for a weekly program? You know, how would that handle? It's a World of Outlaws program on there. There's a lot of interesting dynamics. And last year, USAC and World Racing Group kind of worked together. They had the USAC arrange for the Jumbotron to be at Syracuse. So interesting bedfellows showing up, you know, during this off season. Of course, when the USAC schedule was announced, one thing I did want to touch on briefly was the dropping of the pavement sprint cars from the National Sprint Car Series. At the end of the program, you'll get my take on why this is going to be a good thing. And its time has come. So that'll wrap up
the latest dirt.
And, of course, we have a great guest lineup for the show, David Goff, Taylor Ferns, coming up on the Open Wheel Spectacular. It's time for us to take a break. When we come back, One of them will be on the line, and then we'll see what the take is on these indoor races coming up. You're listening to the TJ Slideways Open Wheel Spectacular here on racesontheweb.com. Stay tuned.
Rumble in the new year. It all happens Friday and Saturday, New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. Auto Racing's Power Party comes to the Memorial Coliseum Expo Center as Evans Toyota and Fuzzy's Vodka welcome the Rumble in Fort Wayne Indoor Midget Auto Races. Two huge shows. New Year's Eve at 7 p.m. and Saturday, New Year's Day at 7 p.m. Doors open at noon. Witness national stars in action on the 1/6 mile track inside the Expo Center. Also featuring outlaw wing midgets, slingshots, carts, and quarter midgets. Plus, Hoosier Windows and Siding presents ATV stuntman Henry the Pitbull Wright as he attempts a world record jump of Evans Toyotas at the New Year's Eve Fan Pit Party in the Pit. And Crazy Pins is giving away $10 gift cards to the first 1,000 ticket buyers at the Coliseum Ticket Office. Friday and Saturday, New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. Evans Toyota welcome the Rumble at Fort Wayne Indoor Midget Auto Races. Brought to you by Hoosier Window and Siding, Fuzzy's Vodka, and Crazy Pins. Tickets on sale now at the Coliseum Ticket Office, Ticketmaster.com, or call or text 260-479-9928 at RumbleSeries.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at enginepro.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro. Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com. Race teams, take advantage of the 2010 Maximizer program courtesy of Maxim Chassis. Visit racemaxims.com and report any feature win utilizing a Maxim chassis on racemaxims.com within 3 days of the event, and you will receive a $25 gift certificate and a feature win decal. You will also be entered in a drawing for a free 2010 Maxim Racer Kit. Maxim Chassis, made in the USA.
T.J. Buffenbarger here for Goodyear Tires. When traveling to races all over the country, my car is equipped with Goodyear Triple Tread technology to give me great performance in all kinds of weather conditions. Goodyear is also the official tire of the World of Outlaws, All-Star Circuit of Champions, Knoxville Raceway, and the 50th Knoxville Nationals. When traveling to the racetrack, do it on the wings of Goodyear.
Welcome back to the TJ Slideways Open Wheel Spectacular on racesontheweb.com.
All righty, race fans, our first guest is on the line tonight, veteran driver from Illinois. He's going to be doing the indoor triple, the Coin, Fort Wayne, and Chili Bowl. We're going to talk to him about approaching all those and what might be ahead for him in 2011. David Goff, kind enough to join us again. David, thanks for being on the show tonight.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
Well, it's great to have you back, and it is indoor racing season, and you have a very busy schedule. What is it like getting all these cars ready? Because you have multiple cars in indoor races, and DuCoin, Fort Wayne, and Chili Bowl. What kind of undertaking is up to your race season to prepare for all three of these events?
Well, I guess it's nice because we get a little bit of a break after the outdoor season to get the cars ready. And
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro. Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com.
And that brings me to another aspect.
Race teams, take advantage of the 2010 Maximizer program courtesy of Maxim Chassis. Visit racemaxims.com and report any feature win utilizing a Maxim chassis on racemaxims.com within 3 days of the event, and you will receive a $25 gift certificate and a feature win decal. You will also be entered in a drawing for a free 2010 Maxim Racer Kit. Maxim Chassis, made in the USA.
Driveline, motors, all that, it's still the same.
TJ Buffenbarger here for Goodyear Tires. When traveling races all over the country, my car is equipped with Goodyear Triple Tread technology to give me great performance in all kinds of weather conditions. Goodyear is also the official tire of the World of Outlaws All-Star Circuit of Champions.
Now, we've talked about Raceway, DeCoin, obviously, this weekend, and Chili Bowl, and
when traveling to the racetrack. That's
on the wings of Goodyear. And that's a whole different animal running on the floor there at DeCloyne. And I know that takes some unique equipment sometimes to really master. It's not necessarily the newest car, the fastest car you want, but a lot of people have something tucked away in the shop. And I know you have a Volkswagen-powered car that you usually run there.
Yeah, actually, we have a car that we race about once a year at Fort Wayne and any other Colt Syrup indoor show that we can find. It's something that I've always enjoyed, actually, from back from the go-kart days. Really enjoyed racing in the winter with the go-kart, and that just kind of carried over with the midget, and we were able to win the RCA Dome a few years back, and I always have run pretty well at the indoor stuff, but you need a car that's basically set up for that. You don't need a lot of horsepower. You need something that's fairly lightweight, got a good power band, and a car that chassis real well, and fortunately, we came up with that. I bought a car from the Thompsons a few years back when David got out of racing, and that car's worked really, really well for us.
And it's always unique to hear the history and where some of these indoor cars came from. Run at Fort Wayne because it's a very unique piece set of equipment. And it'll be interesting. You said you've run third there twice. It's obviously something that you enjoy doing. You know, it obviously helps that you enjoy that to be able to do well there, because a lot of people that don't enjoy it, it can be a long weekend, especially for how long some of those indoor events, because they take a little bit. You're at the facility and stuff a little longer than you are a daytime event, and if you're not having any fun, it's definitely not a good place to be.
That's very true. I mean, they are long events, but Tony Barhorse puts on an excellent show. He really caters to the fans, makes sure that they have a lot to see and a lot to enjoy while they're there. Puts on a good event. Like I said, we've been competitive, and I just enjoy being competitive. That's one of the places that we've always done well. We've led a lot of laps there, won some heat races and consolation races there, and had opportunities to win some features at Fort Wayne and unfortunately come up a little bit short. I think we finished second and third. Again, last year, Billy Weiss won both shows, which, you know, stole the spotlight, but we had probably the second best finish of the weekend, finishing third both nights. So I look forward to going back there and hope that maybe this year we can get a win.
And, of course, when you talk Chili Bowl is kind of a crapshoot. How do you approach that? Because, I mean, right now with the draw and everything, there's just so many cards and so many talented drivers. How do you even begin to figure out how your team's going to approach that event?
Well, first of all, you got to go there prepared. And there is a lot of luck involved in the Chili Bowl in picking the, you know, drawing the right position, getting the right starting spot, having the right things happen on the right night. But it's an event, again, that I just really, really enjoy. I love the racetrack down there. And being prepared when you get there is half the battle. There's, you know, 200 to 300 cars there every year, but probably only a third to a half of them are prepared when they get there, and that makes you that much in front of all of them. I think we made it to the C-Main last year, and in the 7 years that I, or 6 years that I've run there, that's about the worst we've ever done. And, you know, I'm hoping for some success this year and making it back to the A-Main on Saturday night, which we actually accomplished the first year we went there in my rookie year. So just another event that I really enjoy, and, again, it comes down to preparation.
And you are involved in midget racing. You also do a little bit of sprint car racing on the side. So I got to ask you about some of the things that are developing and changing in both the midget and the sprint car world. As far as some of these sealed engines that you see coming into the midget car ranks, there's a couple of different ideas coming in there. What do you think of not only the sealed engines, but also the RPM limits that are coming up for the outdoor season in 2011?
You know, I agree with the direction that all the clubs are going to. The midget racing has just, you know, gotten to the point where it is so costly to run. I think that's one of the reasons that we've chose to just run select races. It's hard to afford to run a car on a weekly basis where the pay has actually gone down over the years instead of up. And the clubs are doing everything that they can to keep the purses up there, but, with car counts going down and the more people that are, or the more cars that are there, the more people that will be there. So when the car count gets down in the low numbers, it's hard to have the purses that we used to have, and the cars just keep getting more and more expensive. So the club's trying to find ways to limit the cost and bring some of those cars back to the racetrack. I applaud them a great deal. You know, what the exact answer is, I really don't know. You know, it's a struggle for all of them, and I know they're trying real hard to find that answer. And you know, I hope they come up with a solution and a formula that works better and does help bring some of the cars back to the racetrack.
Now, one group that is prospering and seems to be doing pretty well, even with the cost and the economic downturn, such as PowerEye. They seem to be really on a resurgent thing, and you've raced for PowerEye a little bit. What do you think makes that club click and makes that one work compared to maybe some of the other groups that are struggling a little bit?
I think their management team is doing an excellent job right now, and they're in their upswing. They developed the 600 series, which is a great stepping stone for national midgets, and they race together every week, so all the 600 drivers and teams get to know the national midget guys and the PowerEye midget guys to where making that next step, they find good opportunities. They might not have to go out and buy a brand new car and a brand new motor. They'll know somebody that they can maybe get last year's car, which is a great car for a rookie, and work up through the ladder system. And they've had that in place for enough years now that it's really starting to pay off for them. The Signers and King Brown they've done a great job in that aspect. And they're good promoters. They're nice people. They're a lot of fun to go race with. And you know, I wish that some of the races were a little closer to us than what they are, but we still enjoy going and racing with them whenever we can.
And also some of the change going on the pavement side, the Stars series has come into a play, and they've got the contract for Grundy County. They've brought the IRS midgets back. What's your opinion on this with the Stars series going into Grundy County? Do you think this is going to be a good thing for midget racing in the Chicago area?
You know, I think the people that are behind that Stars group really come from back in the day when the midgets were very successful in the Chicago area, and the pavement midgets, especially with the UARA starting back then through WOM and all the other associations that have been involved. And I think that they're going to do a really good job. It's still an uphill battle to get race cars out to the racetrack. The expense is not going to go down a great deal to bring a national car to the track. But they're going to do some things, and I think they proved that. They were the people that were pretty much behind the last stand at Joliet, and they brought over 7,000 people, I think, to the racetrack and put on an excellent event, and everybody walked away from there smiling and having a good time. So I think that they really are a group that can make things happen, and they're going to be able to grow and make midget racing more what it used to be in the Joliet area. So I'm looking forward to that as well.
and you're not only a midget car driver, but you've done your fair share of sprint car racing. So a couple of questions on the sprint car side of things. They've taken the USAC National Sprint Car Series and removed the pavement portion of the program. Do you think that was a good move?
You know, it's hard to say. I haven't run a pavement sprint car without a wing. I would love to, just the opportunities have not been there. And it's an expensive ordeal with a pavement car, so I can kind of understand the reasoning behind it, but I'm not involved enough with that side of it to know whether it was a good idea or not a good idea. I know they have a pretty strong contingent of dirt sprint cars with USAC, and that's great. They need to help that thrive. And for the car owners that wanted to go for a championship and really couldn't afford to because they couldn't afford to run a pavement team, I guess that side of it makes sense, but it's a shame to see USAC go away from the pavement side with the sprint cars at, you know, some of the racetracks, Winchester or Salem, places where they have a real long history. And, you know, maybe as the economy turns around and racing in general starts to turn around, maybe they can get back to that.
And also on the pavement side, you did some racing with the Must-See Racing Series over the past year. What was your impression of doing those shows with the wing? Is that something you enjoy doing with the wing pavement car, and are you planning on maybe doing a little more of that next year?
Actually, we are. We had a great deal of fun. Our team, you know, we kind of got together as this group about a year and a half ago, and we only ran a couple of races with them this year. We got the sprint car out in the middle of the season and went and ran a couple of shows, but we're treated extremely well. Met up with a lot of people that we've raced with through the years and had a good time with them. Their pay is really good, by comparisons to some of the other series and divisions out there right now. They have the television coverage, which gives us an opportunity to go out and sell sponsorship. I think it's a really good series, and we're looking forward to racing with them again. Actually, we were talking a little bit. I don't know what TBARA is doing this winter, if they're going to do any, shows over Speed Week, so we're contemplating maybe going down there on a few races because we just really had a good time with that car.
And we do have a question on Facebook, and it comes from Tony Barhorst, of all people, listening into the show. He's congratulating you on running up front at Fort Wayne last year, and of course for your win at the RCA Dome, a real big win back in 2004. He wants to know when you're going to put your entry in for Fort Wayne.
Actually, it's probably in the mail. I filled it out yesterday and gave it to the wife to send out in the mail, so it should be coming. Our hotel rooms have been reserved at the Marriott for close to a month now, so I got that taken care of first, but I haven't sent the entry in, but it's on its way.
All right, so Tony, he's entered, so you can start pumping him up. Of course, Barhorst, one of the best front men in the business, wanting to get every driver he can signed up early so he can start beating the drum for who's going to be at Fort Wayne.
Yeah,
well, David,
like I say, he's a great promoter. It's a fun deal to go over there and race with him.
So more wing sprint car racing for next year. I guess the final question is, what are your plans for 2011 other than the wing sprint car?
Well, as of right now, we got the coin. I'm going to run the primary car, and Dave Butters can run my second car. We're going to run the Fort Wayne race with our little indoor car. Happy to announce I got the Haas champion and rookie of the year and the Must-See Racing rookie of the year running my second car in the Chili Bowl this year. Jason Cox is going to run my second car at the Chili Bowl. We're looking at maybe racing a little bit in the winter in Florida if the schedules come out for TBARA with the sprint car. And as the season unfolds into the summer, we're kind of looking at what schedules are out there and what's going to fit. We have a couple of pavement midgets, a couple of dirt midgets, and a wing sprint car, pavement car to go race. And I got a nephew that's up and coming, so he did a great job this past year. Ended up rookie of the year with the IRS series and third in the championship, so we're looking to put him into a few more races this summer as well, just kind of waiting for the schedules to come out and see where it all fits.
And he'll be on the show in the next couple weeks too, so we're really breaking him in.
Oh, great. Well, he's looking forward to that.
All right. Well, David, we appreciate you making time for us. I'm sure you've got some people you have to thank before you leave.
I got to thank, first of all, some of my sponsors, K Media, Simpson, Manic Racing, all the guys that have helped us out. Really got to thank Steve Wagner, Natalie Wagner, the whole Wagner family who have come on board here in the last year or so and really put a lot of time, effort, and money into this whole operation. And we really couldn't do it without it, and we're just having a blast. We're having a great time. We got a new shop here, and in Love Spark, and, you know, kind of on our own now. We got all five cars in here, and got a nice setup for the whole crew to come down and, you know, not only just work on cars, but a nice place to just hang out. So having a good time, looking forward to this year.
Well, David, we appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule. Have a great holiday, and good luck at the three big indoor races this winter.
Thanks, TJ. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. That is David Goff. Always great to have David on the show. We're going to take a quick break, come back with Taylor Ferns and my take on the USAC Sprint Car Series dropping the pavement. You're listening to the TJ Slideways Open Wheel Spectacular here on racesontheweb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro. Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com. Race teams, take advantage of the 2010 Maximizer program courtesy of Maxim Chassis. Visit racemaxims.com and report any feature win utilizing a Maxim chassis on racemaxims.com within 3 days of the event, and you will receive a $25 gift certificate and a feature win decal. You will also be entered in a drawing for a free 2010 Maxim Racer kit. Maxim Chassis, made in the USA.
TJ Buffenbarger here for Goodyear Tires. When traveling to races all over the country, my car is equipped with Goodyear Triple Tread technology to give me great performance in all kinds of weather conditions. Goodyear is also the official tire of the World of Circuit of Champions, Knoxville Raceway, and the 50th Knoxville Nationals. When traveling to the racetrack, do it on the wings of Goodyear.
Spectacular on racesontheweb.com.
Of course, we're keeping the show moving along. It's what we like to do here on the Open Wheel Spectacular. My next guest is a young lady from the Detroit area who has stood out in the Spartan Speedway Sprint Car Division, the USAC, Ford Focus, Midgets, basically everything she's gotten into at this point. She's going to be racing at DeCoin this weekend and also at the Fort Wayne Rumble in the Expo. Taylor Ferns, it's good to have you on the Spectacular tonight. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, first of all, I got to ask, you know, you are in high school, so we have to go through the obligatory question. You know, you're getting through high school and stuff. Do you have a college that interests you in a major yet?
I'm not really sure yet. I just know that all I want to do is racing, so I'm still kind of, like, deciding what I'm going to go to college for.
All right, and obviously so, because you keep a very busy schedule. How nice was it this year with the Spartan Sprint Cars to be able to race closer to home? Because in the past, you've had to fly all over the place to do a lot of your racing over the past couple of years.
Yeah, I'm not really used to racing close to home. Usually our drives are about 4 or 5 hours, or it's a flight to California. But it was great racing at Lansing. All my family would come out, and I have to thank Jim Leisure. He puts on a good show at Spartan Speedway, and racing at Lansing this past summer has been probably one of the greatest times we've ever had racing, so we enjoy racing there.
And worked out pretty well for you. I heard the other day that you were really surprised when you won that race, that it almost caught you off guard when you saw your number up on the scoreboard when the race was over, and you had won there at Spartan during the, I believe it was the season opener.
Yeah, I was really surprised. It was my first race ever in a sprint car and only, what was it, my second time ever in it. So I was really excited, and I just couldn't really believe it. I just have a great crew chief and my dad, and they support me a lot. So it was a really good time.
And you did a lot of different things this year. You did the midget quite a bit on the dirt, and then you also did the wing dirt sprint car. So of all those cars, the pavement sprint car, the midget on the dirt, the midget on the pavement, the focus car, the wing sprint car, which one would you have to vote as your favorite?
Oh, well, that's a tough question. I love all my cars, but I have a lot of fun in my dirt cars, but I think one of the cars that I enjoy the most and racing the most is got to be my pavement sprint car. That's the one that I always look forward to, and I enjoy my dirt stuff too a lot, but I think it's my pavement sprint car by far.
And I think handles pretty well, so I can imagine why. And you mentioned you have a good crew chief. You've had Kevin Biesecker helping you out a little bit, turning the wrenches. What is it about Kevin that that works well with you teaming up with him? What does he bring to you that maybe helps your program?
Kevin is he's just a really easy person to get along with, and he's kind of like, he's been like a role model to me, and he's kind of like a father figure to me. So, I don't know, we just click instantly, and I mean, he's a really easy guy to talk to, and whenever I do something wrong, you know, he'll go over what happened and then we'll explain it. So I don't know, he's just an easy person to talk to, so I think that's why we get along.
And we'll go through what you have coming up on the schedule here. You are entered for DeCoin next week in the dirt midget. Have you raced at DeCoin before? I didn't have a chance to look that up before the show.
No, I have never raced at DeCoin.
So this is a little different experience for you. And now, are you doing that as part of the Armstrong team, or is that your team going down there?
We run most of our cars out of the Armstrong shop. So Caleb and Dakota and Dalton, they're all like my teammates. So, I mean, we are sort of a combined team, I guess you could say.
That makes sense, and so you're going to be going into there. Now, this will be your second crack at the Rumble. You did that last year. Are you looking forward to having an opportunity now that you've seen the full-size midgets at the Rumble and stuff in Fort Wayne and getting a second crack at it after doing it for a year?
Yeah, I love going to the Fort Wayne Rumble. Tony Borhorse puts on a good show every year, and last year, you know, we just had some bad luck with the mag going wrong, so Mike Stryker went through it this summer, so we're going to go back, and you know, we're going to go for the win this year. I think we definitely have a shot at it.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure the Spartan experience probably will help with that indoor. Spartan's pretty tight confines, and you got used to racing there. Did anything from Fort Wayne or running some of the Coke syrup stuff or smaller racetracks kind of help you with the sprint car at Spartan, you think?
Well, over the years, I've always grown up racing on, you know, smaller tracks and not the bigger tracks as much. So I think definitely racing my 600 at Logansport and racing at Kemper the past couple years and the midget, and I think it's definitely helped me a lot with the smaller tracks. So I think that has definitely helped me evolve, especially going to the Rumble. So I think we should be good.
All right, cool. That sounds pretty good. One thing I got to ask, since you're of young age, how in the world did you get interested in racing? Was it introduced to your family? Did you have friends doing it? How did racing get introduced to you, or can you even remember, you know, was it always part of your life?
Well, racing has always been a part of my life. I grew up in a racing family. My uncle used to race ARCA and some stock car stuff. So it's just, I guess it's in my blood. I just grew up around racing, watched the NASCAR races every weekend and stuff. So it's just always been a part of my life.
And now when you go to school, do your classmates have any idea what's going on, or is it just like a whole different world for you that they don't really understand?
Well, I don't really come from a racing community, I guess you could say. So whenever I go to school and I said, oh, I was racing this weekend, they don't really understand it. And when I try to explain it, it takes them a while for them to understand. But they support me a lot, and they try to figure out what's going on, but they don't understand it as much as some other people would.
Now, you do keep a busy racing schedule. Are you able to partake in normal school activities, or does the racing pretty much take up your free time at this point?
Usually racing does take up a lot of my time, but during the winter when it starts to slow down a little bit, right now I'm doing basketball at my high school, so it's pretty exciting.
Well, that's pretty cool. It's good to see. I like to see kids that are racing still maintain some sort of a normal existence and do some of the things that a lot of people miss out on if they get too involved. So with that, you got a lot of things coming up. What is in store for Taylor Ferns for 2011? Where can people see you racing? What's the plan as of right now?
For 2011, I plan on racing my USAC midget for the USAC Regional Series, and I also plan on racing the non-wing sprint car at Spartan again on the Friday nights, and also at the end of the year doing a little bit of the wing sprint car stuff for the Ohio Valley Sprint Car Association, and we also plan on running the dirt midget for the Power Eye Series and also some local Kokomo shows.
Oh, cool. So if you're down in the Illinois area, you're going to have a chance to get Taylor run with Power Eye a little bit. So that's some good news for those folks. And Taylor, it was great having a chance to get to know you this summer with the Spartan Sprint Car deal, and wish you some continued success. And I'm sure you have some people you have to thank that make your deal possible.
Yeah, I have to thank, most importantly, Skathead Sunglasses, which they just launched their new men's line, and the women's line is coming out in June. And you can also pick up the glasses at the Walmart optical stores. And I also have to thank Frameworks Marketing Group, Stanton Mopar, Corey Chrisman Sprint Car Midget Driving School, Indy Race Parts, Armstrong Farms, Simpson Race Products, Butler Bill Seats, and All Star Performance.
Well, you got the interview thing down. You're a pro at this already, and I can tell. I can speak as a person with a very large dome piece that the Fathead Sunglasses are thumbs up with here. So, Taylor, good luck at the coin in Fort Wayne, and look forward to seeing you again this summer.
Thank you.
All right, Taylor Ferns on the line. So, you know, it's been great to get to know her this year. Kevin Biesecker, a good friend of mine, introduced me to Taylor with the Spartan deal, and I heard she was going to be doing that, and it's a great family. Jim, her dad, and everybody, it's a really neat deal to see the whole family at the racetrack, and wish her the best of luck coming up at the indoor event. So, got two guests down. When we come back from this next ad break, you're going to get my take on the USAC Sprint Cars, getting rid of the pavement sprint cars, and whatever else we have to close the show. You're listening to the TJ Slideways Open Wheel Spectacular on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
Rumble in the new year. It all happens Friday and Saturday, New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. Auto Racing's Power Party comes to the Memorial Coliseum Expo Center as Evans Toyota and Fuzzy's Vodka welcome the Rumble in Fort Wayne Indoor Midget Auto Races. Two huge shows. New Year's Eve at 7 p.m. and Saturday, New Year's Day at 7 p.m. Doors open at noon. Witness national stars in action on the 1/6-mile track inside the Expo Center. Also featuring outlaw wing midgets, swing shots, carts, and quarter midgets. Plus, Hoosier Windows and Siding presents ATV stuntman Henry the Pitbull Wright as he attempts a world record jump of Evans Toyotas at the New Year's Eve fan pit party in the pit. And Crazy Pins is giving away $10 gift cards to the first 1,000 ticket buyers at the Coliseum ticket office. Friday and Saturday, New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. Evans Toyota welcomes the Rumble in Fort Wayne Indoor Midget Auto Races. Brought to you by Hoosier Window and Siding, Fuzzy's Vodka, and Crazy Pins. Tickets on sale now at the Coliseum ticket office, Ticketmaster.com, or call or text 260-479-9928, RumbleSeries.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at EngineProParts.com. It pays to know a pro, Engine Pro.
Yeah. Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com. Race teams, take advantage of the 2010 Maximizer program courtesy of Maxim Chassis. Visit racemaxims.com and report any feature win utilizing a Maxim chassis on racemaxims.com within 3 days of the event, and you will receive a $25 gift certificate and a feature win decal. You will also be entered in a drawing for a free 2010 Maxim Racer Kit. Maxim Chassis, made in the USA.
TJ Buffenbarger here for Goodyear Tires. When traveling to races all over the country, my car is equipped with Goodyear Triple Tread technology to give me great performance in all kinds of weather conditions. Goodyear is also the official tire of the World of Outlaws All-Star Circuit of Champions, Knoxville Raceway, and the 50th Knoxville Nationals. When traveling to the racetrack, do it on the wings of Goodyear.
Welcome back to the TJ Slideways Open Wheel Spectacular on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
I apologize for that ad playing over the David Goff interview. Producer and disc jockey and host doesn't always work out well as a combined duty. So, apologize for that. Back to the show, though. This past week, the United States Auto Club announced that the pavement sprint cars have been separated out into their own series and are off the National Sprint Car Tour. And in a way, you know, like David Goff saying, it's too bad that they did have to do that. It's one of the unique aspects of the United States Auto Club Sprint Car Series was the ability to do well on dirt and pavement. But over recent years, I think this is the right move because the pavement had dwindled to the point where here, almost a lot of guys were just showing up for the fact that showing up and getting through those five or six events to win a championship, and the proficiency in both areas for the sprint car really wasn't as important. I mean, you just had to kind of get through the pavement portion of it. And another aspect of it is a lot of the promoters don't seem to want the event as much, whether it's cost or car count. There's a lot of factors with that. It's difficult to say, you know, maybe which one, if all of them contributed to the demise, but over the past year, the United States Auto Club has had a chance to promote a lot of their pavement events on their own. They've done racetrack rentals and stuff, and obviously if that was still successful with the sprint cars, and a good thing for the teams, we'd probably still be doing it. But something needed to be done. It's going to be interesting with this regional series to see what they do tire-wise. There's been talk of purse structure changes and tire changes. I think the purse structure, from all indications, is going to be a little bit lower than what a national purse. But, you know, it could be offset by the tire costs and whatever other rules might be put into place. Something needs to be done there, though. And there's been some rumblings that maybe something happening in the pavement world with tires to help cost. Because right now, the dirty little secret in the world of asphalt racing is a lot of these pavement tires, talking to teams, aren't lasting a heat cycle, and sometimes they will soak to try to get, you know, no one wants to talk about it, but they will do it to get more cycles out of a tire. And it's unfortunate that it has to go that way, where a team that wants to get more than one good use out of a tire has to, you know, grow a third arm or a growth on their back with some goofy chemical to make it work. And it's one thing you don't run into on the dirt side as much. And hopefully something can be worked out where a tire can be made to where these pavement teams don't have to throw out a new set of tires every time, or some sort of rule, a two-tire rule, whatever it's going to take to make this work. Because, you know, a lot of people have me pegged as a dirt guy. And I'm not necessarily a dirt guy. It's just percentage-wise, there's more dirt sprint car racing than there is on pavement, even up here to some degree. If count the surrounding area, there's more dirt races than there are on pavement. It's not that I don't like pavement racing. I enjoy pavement racing. And I don't want to see it fail. In fact, the pavement side's one of the more unique things. You know, especially on the wing side, there's a lot of different configurations of cars. You see a lot more innovation and stuff. Maybe than you do on the wing side. A lot of the wing innovations from the grandstands are a little smaller, where you can tell a definite difference between a car Butch Dowker built and a car that Bob East built. Two different worlds. So it's going to be interesting to see how this all shakes down in the pavement world. The pavement sprint cars are, you know, really kind of have struggled, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, if the regional series can bring it back, what this is going to do to the must-see series, Auto Value Super Sprints, Haas, see if maybe they pick up some cars out of this. And also this week it was announced that South Bend's going to run non-wing sprint cars a handful of times. So, you know, throw all those things in the mix. It'll be interesting to see how it goes. But overall, I think it's going to be a positive move for the United States Auto Club. They're going to be able to carry more cars throughout the season. It's going to help boost things like the Eastern Tour. It's going to help non-wing racing. And hopefully the pavement come back into it eventually. But right now, I think it's the best thing that needed to be done with the series, with the pavement and such. And over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about that and other things. We're already lining up our next few shows. We're going to have a year review show. And on that show, Mike Strievel is going to join me. He's going to be on the show. I believe it's on the 28th. He's going to be on that show with us. We're still working on our guests for next week. And then at the beginning of the year, we're going to bring in another co-host, because Brett's not always available. When Brett is, he'll come in as a third person on the panel. But Joe Conway is going to come in and join me beginning of the year. We're going to start getting the studio set up starting tomorrow for a co-host. He'll be live in studio with me. And for those of you that don't know Joe, we go way back. He has experience driving. He goes to a lot of sprint car races in Indiana, Ohio, travels around quite a bit now that he is no longer driving. And I think his personality will lend well to the show. So we're going to bring Joe on board for 2011. Need a couple weeks to get the studio in shape. Right now it's a bit in shambles, so we've been moving some stuff around in here and getting ready for having co-host in 2011, and it's going to be great. Indoor racing coming up. Yeah. If you have a chance to go out and see one of these indoor races, do it. It's one of the neat things. They're like little family reunions, especially the Rumble event, but also Chili Bowl has that effect too, where you'll see people in the racing world you might not see all year, people you don't see during the winter, you know, months normally, and it's a really neat deal, and you want to be able to do that, you know, with your friends. It's a good thing, and, you know, I've missed not going to Fort Wayne last year. I didn't make it out there, and it's a really neat deal. I always run into people, maybe I only see it Fort Wayne, but in some degree, see throughout the summer, you're always glad to see them during the winter, see how everybody's doing through the holidays, and the added aspect of the New Year's Eve, New Year's Day things could be really neat with that. Going to the inbox, we have a question. Bobby asks when midgets are going to be at Owendale. Yeah, don't get your hopes up. That's all I got to say about that. I don't foresee a midget program at Owendale in the foreseeable future. So, Bobby, you're probably still going to be pulling out the ARDC shows and Power I races and picking up local stuff. So, yeah, unfortunately, don't foresee that in the future. But thanks for the question. And, of course, if you ever have a question, you can get us on Twitter, you know, at TJ Sideways, on the Facebook page, TJSideways.com. That's really been growing, and we're going to be doing some more social media stuff in the next year. We've got a Flickr account we're working on right now that we're going to start launching with some behind-the-scenes photos, and it'll be pretty awesome. I think you're going to like our social media effort for the 2011 season. Well, that's going to wrap up the TJ Sideways Open Wheel Spectacular for tonight. Of course, if you weren't able to catch this live, you're listening, or one of your friends, if you're listening now, one of your friends couldn't catch it live, don't forget we have this on podcast. And you can get on demand on the website, TJSideways.com, download it via, you know, the same link on TJ Sideways, or subscribe on iTunes. Of course, we got to thank everyone for Races on the Web, and for Wayne Greenhoe for letting me do this, and our guests David Goff and Taylor Ferns. We're going to be back to do it again next week, and then in 2 weeks, the big year-in-review show here on the Open Wheel Spectacular. So if you're heading to the coin or you're watching online, enjoy it this weekend. Fort Wayne Rumble's coming up. We can't wait for Rumble and the Expo. It's going to be awesome. Thank you for listening tonight, and we look forward to seeing you again next week. Good night.
You've been listening to the TJ Slideways Open Wheel Spectacular on RacesOnTheWeb.com. Thanks for tuning in, and come back next week for your open wheel racing fix.